What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Multiverse Monologues, the podcast show where we'd like to travel across the multiverses and fandoms that we love to talk about the movies and television shows that accompany those universes. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Star Wars movie marathon. We are very sadly nearing the end of this epic marathon. It's very, very sad, but we do have two films left to discuss in the Disney era of Star Wars, and we are, of course, this week talking about Solo, a Star Wars story, a movie that, honestly, back in the day, did not leave a very huge cultural impact. When you think of Star Wars films, no matter what, either good or bad, each Star Wars film leaves their mark on pop culture for at least a while. But with Solo, it was a little different, because in 2018, it could have had something to do with it being released 5 months after the very controversial Last Jedi. And if you want our thoughts on that, go listen to last week's podcast. We definitely reveal our thoughts there. Or maybe it was due to the fact that Solo was released the same month as Deadpool 2, which made a ton of money, and Avengers Infinity War, which made even more money. I remember going to this and leaving and being like, yeah, all right.
All right.
Solo, a Star Wars story. It was made. And it was kind of like that when this movie was announced. It was very confusing out of all the Star Wars films that they could make, you know, stories about and give films to. Did we really need one for Han Solo? But it's not 2014. It's not 2018 when this movie was released. It's 2024. And of course, if we're talking about the Ewok films and if we're talking about the Clone Wars animated film, we're definitely going to talk about Solo, a Star Wars story. I know I have a lot of things to say about this because it is a Star Wars movie. And I know another guy who has a lot of things to say about Solo, a Star Wars story, and that is Mr. Ethan Wensloff. Ethan, how are you?
I'm doing very good, Ben. And I love that you clumped this in with the Clone Wars animated film and the Ewok films. Not to spoil our thoughts, but maybe that's fitting. But I'm very excited to talk about this movie. And guys, I'm really glad that I don't have to do this solo. Oh. I get to do it with you two. Oh, and it's going to be a great day. And Micah might have a few tricks up his sleeve. I heard he can speak Wookiee and never let us know.
He deserves no better introduction than that. Introducing Mr. Micah. He can, folks.
I do speak a little. I'm a little fluent, and you know, apparently it is a much like the deleted scene in episode 3, a language to be learned with the droid speak.
Wow,
the beep. I do speak a little bit of beeping too. Beep beep beep. Beep. You know, it's an acquired skill, and it takes a long tread through the galaxy to learn this technique.
You truly are a scoundrel, Micah.
Yes, you are.
There was this one time I was at theater camp, and they had this talent show thing, and they were like, "All right, we need two volunteers who like Star Wars." And I raised my hand, and I went up on stage, and then I was up against one of the camp counselors, and they're like, "All right, do your best Chewbacca impression." And I went, That's what I did.
Pretty good.
I didn't
not terrible.
Yeah, I didn't go. The other guy, he crushed me. He went.
Really?
Oh.
It was a counselor?
He was like this 23-year-old dude.
So you were duped.
Like, oh, yeah.
This counselor came into the camp knowing I am great at doing a Chewbacca voice. I am going to embarrass some poor
And ever
student.
Since then, every time I do a Chewbacca impression, that time is burned in my brain, knowing I could have done more.
It's like it's branded in your arm.
It's branded in my arm, that Pokeball symbol signifying Darth Maul's return. Mm,
the Crimson Dawn.
Whoa, spoilers here. We can't get that far into it.
Sorry.
I'll blur the book in the intro.
Well, no, we can't get that far into it because we have a little, you know, intro here to do, folks, because you know we've traveled far and wide in a galaxy and making it this far onto the podcast. You know, usually we've got, you know, water or, you know, like Ethan's got a seltzer drink there, but this week on Multiverse Monologues we have a little surprise for you guys.
So celebrate May the 4th
for those of you that have been keeping up with the Star Wars news. The blue milk has dropped. The Star Wars blue vanilla flavored milk.
It is vanilla flavored.
Can you turn that? Is there a nice fancy Star Wars logo on there?
Yes. Yeah, right on the front. There you go.
Beautiful. Look at that. So as Ben pours this for us, Micah, what are we expecting from this blue
I'm
milk?
Expecting it to taste like vanilla, I guess. I didn't Hold think on. That. There's a QR code on here. I'm going to scan it for trivia.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to get the full experience, guys. I hope you know we're really excited about Solo.
And we never say this, but time code's below. So if you don't want to see our epic reaction to this cool milk, skip ahead. Go skip to the favorite character segment. Do whatever. But as Ben pours this, we have to, you know, predict what is this going to taste like? Because we have a span, like, wide range of flavors in the Star Wars galaxy. And we first see Luke drinking this in A New Hope. And then most famously, and we can argue on this, but was the milk he drank in The Last Jedi blue? Or is that more green? Because, you know, Luke was chugging down some milk in that movie.
Is that where blue milk comes from?
Apparently,
they are serving blue milk in Galaxy's Edge right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
I think they've been serving that. Yeah,
if
Ben,
you
these
want.
Are hefty.
All right.
It
you
better
want.
Be good, okay?
It's got so milk has this smell to it, and if you don't, like, I don't know if you've ever noticed that there's a smell to it.
Before we do this, who likes just drinking milk?
I do
regularly.
Yeah. Not fat free milk. I'm usually a whole milk guy.
Is
whenever
this
fat-free?
I'm having like eggs or waffles, fat. Like I'll pour myself.
Yeah, this
a
is like a 1%
milk. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really a milk guy. I can do it, but I don't tend to just drink milk.
It's fair. I mean, my wife's
healthy.
Family, they're all like, why would you ever pour yourself a glass of milk?
Like, we used to do milk with dinner, like, every night.
Okay.
We would have spaghetti and milk.
No, same here.
We would have burgers and milk. We would have
spaghetti and a glass of milk.
Yeah. If you want to tie it into the podcast here, they do it in Captain America, the First Avenger. He brings it before Arnim Zola, the prime cut, the meat. The vegetables and the glass of milk. It's right there. They used to do it, man. It used to be a thing.
Got milk was a huge propaganda thing, and it's planted its roots firmly in American culture.
Well, and we got milk today.
Yes, we do. So
let's get those blue milk mustaches.
Let's try it out.
The vanilla flavor is very strong.
I'm not going to lie.
It's not bad.
I kind of like it.
It tastes like ice cream.
It's
just melted ice cream.
I would say
that is that on that. It is melted,
it's melted ice cream.
Melted vanilla ice cream.
Save the rest of that. Let's make mac and cheese out of it.
Guys, I'm a big fan of blue milk. Will we be big fans of Solo? I say let's hit the hyperdrive and head over to the Star Wars galaxy to find out.
What's your name, son?
Hunt.
What? Who are your people?
I don't have people. I'm alone.
Solo.
It is a lawless time. Crime syndicates compete for resources, food, medicine, and hyperfuel. On the shipbuilding planet of Corellia, the foul Lady Proxima forces runaways into a life of crime in exchange for shelter and protection. On these mean streets, a young man fights for survival, but yearns to fly amongst the stars.
Da, 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 da.
That is the opening scroll, opening crawl, you could say. Opening words.
Keynote presentation.
Yeah, right? For Solo, a Star Wars story. They saw Rogue One and they said, yeah, we're not doing it cold turkey. Like, dunk. We're going to have a little intro here.
Crawl, not like
this
else.
This is kind of cheating, though, I feel like.
I agree.
This is... All right, we can't do a crawl because the big movies have the crawls, but we need to set the stage a little. So we'll just we'll do a crawl, but we won't call it a crawl. Boom, there we go.
I also like how they make a huge deal about Lady Proxima, and she's in it for like 5 minutes.
That wouldn't be the first time that they did just like a reference to what's going on.
I do wonder who like wrote the opening crawl and when it was put into place, because we got Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who initially were brought in to do this movie, because when Disney bought Star Wars, they had said, all right, each and every movie we do, we want to inject it with a different kind of style and a different director, which is why you get J.J. Abrams, you get Gareth Edwards, you get Rian Johnson, and then you get Phil Lord, Chris Miller, who, after shooting a ton of this movie, creative differences arise. And we know, based on all the reports from their Spider-Verse movies, that they do tend to crunch people and push people past a breaking point, and not necessarily to the point of it being a good working environment. So they brought in my man Opie from Andy Griffith, Ron Howard.
Oh.
Yeah, so he came and directed this. And he who is most famous in my heart for narrating Arrested Development. That's where Ron Howard sits for me, because he just elevates that show to a level beyond belief.
I think it's also really cool that we get Jonathan Kasdan and Lawrence Kasdan back from the dead. They're so Lawrence back. Kasdan lasted Force Awakens, but the two, I think they're brothers?
They did some force healing and... Oh, wait, sorry. I'm jumping the gun on that.
They did 5 and 6 back in the day. They wrote those, or at least helped with the screenplay for Lawrence Kasdan, at least. So it's cool to see Lawrence Kasdan back in the helm, writing Han Solo, you know, the original mind behind the character.
And I did find it really interesting. I was watching some reviews and reading some stuff on this movie and how they didn't bring these guys back to do Luke's big return in The Last Jedi, where they crafted such a good story for him in Empire and in Return, how they didn't bring him back for that, but they brought him back for this movie, which we'll talk about if it's any good.
Well, let's find out, because I certainly would love to know your guys' history. Like I said at the beginning, this one kind of, again, it falls by the wayside. You don't hear a lot about Solo in pop culture.
And I'd say the 2018 is the height of just movie hype. All three of us have the ability to drive and the ability to take ourselves to see movies. But I think just based on this panel, I didn't see this movie in theaters. I know Micah didn't. Ben maybe did. Ben did for sure. But I don't know. It just was one of those movies that, especially, doesn't help that it was after The Last Jedi. And even if you liked The Last Jedi, you just didn't really feel like you wanted to be a part of Star Wars at that moment. And yeah, it was May and kind of got lost in the shuffle of literally the Infinity War building to that. So I didn't see this movie in theaters, and it was like it dropped on Netflix. I think I don't even know how long after it came out.
Very shortly after, like the summer maybe?
I don't know. But I remember not seeing this in theaters, and from everyone who I was talking to about it, they said, oh yeah, it was fine, and you know, Donald Glover did his thing and whatever, Han Solo. Yeah, it was fine. Nothing about it really made me go, okay, I have to see that. And then it was on Netflix, and I decided to watch it when it was released at home. And instantly after watching this, whew, everything left my brain. I don't remember sitting down to watch this movie again. It was my first time seeing it. I'll just say that. Like, I didn't remember any of this movie. I remembered some, you know, spectacle set pieces and some character stuff, but I really kind of entered this movie this time with fresh eyes. And so a lot of my reactions to this are going to be as if they're fresh, because I just, I don't remember any of this. And I got things to say. And mainly, did this have to happen?
Did it have to happen?
Because this is to me what happened. Okay, they got Star Wars and Disney bought Star Wars, and they looked at, you know, okay, we want to do this Skywalker saga. We'll bring directors in; they'll figure that out. But we want to do two offshoot movies. All right, let's go back to the script of A New Hope. And what are the problems in that movie? Okay, Han Solo, he says he completes this in 12 parsecs, right? Okay, that everyone knows that's distance, not time. So we have to fix that, of course. And then also, the Death Star just kind of blows up. So let's make a movie about both of those and fix those retroactively. And I don't know. I don't know if that was the best direction, because as far as a Star Wars story goes, is Solo who we needed a Star Wars story on? And I'm kind of jumping the gun with it. We haven't dived into your thoughts and, you know, reactions to it. But I'm excited to talk about this movie and kind of its place and what it kind of does to the character that is Han Solo.
It's a problem Star Wars is still facing today. I echo those sentiments, Ethan. did we need a story about this character? Did we need a story about this time? Do we, or another
Boba
story
Fett.
About this time? When I say these words, I think, you know, if you're a big Star Wars fan, you have a project in your mind. And it's like, of all the things, I mean, Star Wars is so rich and there's so many things you could make projects on. Do we need a project about Solo, a Star Wars story?
And I think that the question itself is kind of a little unfair, because do we need this? Is, I think Andor has proved everyone wrong with, do we need this? Because regardless of how much you love Andor, we all agree that it's good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, did we need versus did it work are also two different questions.
Yeah, because I feel like, I mean, no one was asking for a Cassian Andor show. And that, I mean, you can say that all day. It really just depends on, did the writers put some effort into the thing? Is it good? Like, that's all that matters, is the story there. And for Solo, it kind of is. Mm. Kinda. Very kinda.
Take us through
your
history.
Yeah, so I completely missed out on this opening day. I don't even know if I knew about it going into it, or, you know, when it came out. I watched it first on Netflix. It was a laundry movie. Just folding laundry. Watched it at the end. Completely blown away by the ending.
Like, Darth Maul!
What? As a dude who had not seen Clone Wars, who had not known anything about Clone Wars, who thought it was just some kid's show at the time, seeing Darth Maul come out of nowhere was mind-blowing for me. I was like, what?
Who?
When does this... I thought he died in episode one.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and immediately I texted my Aunt Katie, and I was like, Katie, have you seen Solo? This is the one Star Wars... She's the biggest Star Wars fan I know. She has still not seen Solo.
Bigger than Ben?
Because she doesn't like you... what they did with Darth Maul.
Not saying that you are not a bigger Star Wars fan than me, Katie, but you would say that she's a bigger Star Wars fan than me?
I would say she is.
But she hasn't seen this movie.
But you haven't read the books.
He's read some books.
Not as many.
Ben's a book reader.
You don't like Thrawn.
Bro. Thrawn is one of my favorite characters.
You hate Thrawn.
This is not a debate.
Yeah,
Katie,
Ben, I've heard that. You hate Thrawn. You don't like Star Wars. If you listen to the Last Jedi podcast, Ben famously hates Star Wars.
Yeah, he hates. Listen to every episode for the past 2 weeks. 3 weeks, he hates Star Wars.
Oh, Rogue One. Hang on. We can't.
His average is
don't
two.
Lump Rogue One in
Rogue
there
One
for that.
Star.
Yeah,
Rogue
so,
One is good.
And then watching it this time, I'm like Ethan said, it's a very similar sentiment. Like, I had no idea what was going to go on in this movie. All I remember was Han shows up. He does his thing and gets thrown into a prison with Chewbacca, and then Chewbacca's there, and then they go off world. And but before then, he's called Solo. He gets his name in this movie.
He didn't affiliate with anybody before, but now his name is Solo. Wow, it's genius.
And then Woody Harrelson's in it, and then Lando shows up, and then Maul, and then that's the end of the movie. That's all I remembered. There were a couple characters in there that were endearing. I liked the Leet, L337, was very quirky. I don't know if I liked her, but I liked that she had character. She stood out.
Those
hips do not
lie. Certainly, no, they don't. I agree with you on that one, Michael.
Lando also agrees with you on that one.
She stood out in many ways. I don't know how it works, but I guess life finds a way.
It works.
And that's the spirit of the Falcon. I like the little, you know, the little keys jangling in front of us. Look, he calls him Han.
That was
because the
that was probably
movie.
My favorite element of the movie when he goes Han. Actually, it's Han.
Yeah, that was
like,
good.
It was like okay. They know who we are. They know what the fans want to see. Kinda.
My initial reactions off of this are: this is the most Marvel Star Wars movie.
Oh, dude, good take.
This is the most
that's
great
a good take. Yeah,
and I said that, and Rebecca was like, "No, this is the most Disney Star Wars movie."
I will say, next week we get the most Marvel movie.
Yeah,
No.
This just is wait, definitely the most like.
That's some better writing in Marvel.
It feels like those live action remakes of Lion King and Jungle Book.
Mm.
Where it's like, you know what's going to happen in this movie. You know going in. It's like a remake in for a movie that didn't exist before. Because it just uses everything that's already been shown multiple times at this point. Force Awakens, you can give a pass because it's at least new characters. But Solo is just like, I don't know. It's the same characters. We've seen this. We've seen them do the exact same things. I don't know. It's very Disney. Very, very Disney. Ben, what's your Ben Solo a Star Wars story?
So I remember being with my good buddy Garrett, and he was...
Garrett Edwards?
Oh. We were sitting there a week before this movie came out, and we said, oh, yeah. Solo's coming out.
Yeah.
We should probably go see that.
That's how May movies tend to be, though. You're like, oh, wait. Oh, that's coming out already.
Dude, wait. Let me tell you something. Infinity War, I was hyped out of my
Infinity
mind.
Infinity War's different.
It's true. It's a good point. Yeah. But I mean, May comes around, and the day of comes. I bought my tickets the day before the new Star Wars movie came out. I didn't do that with any other Star Wars movie. I had to buy my Last Jedi tickets like way in advance. Rise of Skywalker, even same thing.
He already has his Mando Grogu tickets bought, guys.
That's right. And ooh. So, but I bought my Solo tickets the day before it was released. And yeah, it just... I remember being very surprised that Darth Maul showed up.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I was very surprised. And honestly,
was he revealed
that was,
in Clone Wars yet?
Oh yeah, Clone Wars had already happened.
Yeah,
been done.
But that's why I was like, "What?
What?
Really? This is like, but Rebels also happened with Maul as well. I'm pretty sure his death had already happened in Rebels as well. But this takes place before Rebels. So
yeah, look that up.
What?
Is the Twin Sons the episode?
Yes.
Yeah, look up when Twin Sons came out.
I believe that was 2017, and Solo was 2018.
Yep.
Yeah, so this had been a year after Darth Maul's death, so he comes back, confusing a lot of people.
So his closure's already happened.
Exactly, yeah. But now he's here. But honestly, though, that at that point in the movie, I was truly like, oh, okay, we might actually have something here. But clearly Disney did not want anything to happen with Solo.
Hey, we are a couple days out from May 4th. Just wait for them to announce Kira and Maul, a Star Wars story.
Come on. See, like Maul, like why not tell a story about Maul?
Yeah.
Like there you go. There's something interesting we could, you know, pull
listen,
from.
Listen, you could totally do that, but I feel like it would be the same thing with the Boba Fett show. Like Boba Fett, insanely cool character, but they took the most boring part of him in the entire timeline, focused on that. They would probably do that with Maul. Okay, what does he do between Twin Sons and meeting Kira?
Well,
boom.
Not to get too off topic here, but in Rebels, it's hinted that he knows about Vader, and he knows that Vader you can't mess with Vader. So clearly something happened.
Vader.
Something's happened between the two of them in the past. Let's maybe tell that story.
Maybe
that would be epic.
Sliced his mask open.
Come on.
And
like,
then you saw Hayden's face.
Oh, my gosh.
So what did you think this time around?
So this time around, thank you for bringing it back, Micah. This time around, I think basically the same thing. I've seen it twice before, and I watched it a couple of years ago. I was
for
doing,
fun?
Is this your second time?
Actually, legitimately, just for fun. I was like... let me revisit Solo. Like, I really want to, like, solidify my thoughts. And again, I was like, it's like, does it need to, if I'm going Star Wars again, like,
yeah.
I said this in Rogue One, but when I go Star Wars, this isn't typically the era I like to go. Although I will say, one of my biggest props that I will give to Solo, a Star Wars story, is the amount of references to the deep lore that this movie, like, this does not shy away from anything, like, it embraces what Star Wars is, the mythology, the deep, like the characters, the lore, all that. Like there's even a reference to Taris Kassi, the freaking 1990s Star Wars video game. Like, I love how deep it delves into that aspect of Star Wars. It's just, at the end of the day, does it tell an interesting story? Not really. I mean,
in true Disney fashion, it's here to entertain for one, like, big scene, which is the Kessel Run. Love that scene.
I will say that's
a
good scene.
It's a very entertaining movie, and that's exactly what Disney movies are supposed to be. There's just like no character depth at all.
So my thing is, when you do a prequel and especially a backstory prequel of any kind, is I want to come out of it like, okay, this character is way more interesting than I ever thought they could be. And I kind of left this movie thinking, Han Solo is kind of really boring.
Yeah.
Like, when, if you watch, go watch A New Hope after this, or don't even watch this, watch A New Hope. That is such an interesting and layered character, because he's lying about, you know, oh yeah, fastest ship in the galaxy. They mention it in this, but, you know, he's just blowing smoke. And the conflict in this guy, he's totally a smuggler. He is, has, you know, where's his moral line? Where does that, you know, doesn't believe in luck, has no faith in the Jedi. So many interesting things compacted into this character. And then you jump back in the timeline many years and he's here. And it, I know that, you know, playing Harrison Ford is not easy. Definitely not. But I just feel like there's really no connect. I can't see this. Oh, Alden. No, what's his name?
Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah, Alden Ehrenreich. I don't see him becoming who Han is in those movies.
There are moments where he's like, that's Harrison Ford right there. Like, he does that, you know, that like face, or he does like the gun.
Very few, or he does, and like far between, though.
I think he is very good in this movie. I like what he does. But as Han Solo, it's just, it's not. And that's a high bar to meet. So meeting it would be impossible. But it just, it's not the connection piece I think it needs to be.
Han is very reserved in A New Hope. And if you're going to tell a more lighter side of the character, which I think this does, you need to show kind of how he gets to be more reserved and more laid back and cool, because that's not at all the Han Solo that we get in this movie. And maybe they were planning that, because this was actually, I believe, supposed to be a trilogy of films.
Of Han Solo trilogy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They certainly set up continuing stories, which I think then got continued into comic books.
What would they call the second one? Like Duo and then Trio? Or I think this would have worked as a Disney Plus show, like a miniseries, like we've seen with Book of Boba Fett and Kenobi, like a 3 or 4 episode thing, maybe 5.
2 hours is enough. Yeah. I will say that.
No.
Well, I mean,
he's
like
saying
half an
good.
Hour,
he's saying a good show.
Okay.
You do a good show on Han Solo.
If they solidified what the act structure was, because I feel like the pacing in this is horrendous. You finish the Kessel Run, and then you're like, all right, the movie's done, right? You've got another half an hour.
So go back to A New Hope. You watch Han Solo in that movie. There's so many interesting things about that character. Okay, what did he do to tick Jabba off? Why are all these bounty hunters after him? Smuggling, what does a life of a smuggler look like?
Why isn't that this movie?
Kessel Run, okay, that sounds like it could be super interesting. That's not as cool as I think they wanted it to be. It's like it feels like everything that Solo is in A New Hope, they kind of threw it in here and go, okay, let's try to make this make sense. Okay, yeah, he'll get his cool gun, he'll meet Chewie, he'll know how to speak Wookiee right away, they'll become friends as quickly as two characters could possibly become friends in any story. And oh, he'll meet Lando, he'll, you know, win the ship. Yeah, and he'll get all the stuff he needs. And also, here are these dice that weird, it's weird that also The Last Jedi had a thing with the dice too, because it was like, you have the dice hanging in your car, don't you, Ben? It was such a niche thing for so long, but then it's this pivotal part in two of these movies.
Yeah, it's like all the elements that make Solo, like the character Solo, you would have wanted to see develop in this movie, but they're just kind of like unearned. They're thrown out there. Oh yeah, he speaks Wookiee.
Yes.
And that's how they're friends. Mm-hmm. Oh, he has the golden dice. He didn't like win them or anything. He just has them. He gets the Millennium Falcon through the thing at the end. Okay, cool. Kessel Run? Yeah, it just happens. There wasn't anything that he prepared for it. There was no training. Oh yeah, he's a pilot because he is a pilot. Like, why didn't they show us this? Why did they just tell us these things?
So one of the coolest scenes in this movie is when he's on Mimban after he gets drafted for the Imperial Academy. He says he wants to be a pilot.
Oh, where it's
and
like
the coolest
war scene.
You'll be going in there like any day now. And it's like 2 years later, he's still fighting on the front line 3 years later. on Mimban, and he's got, there's like these muddy stormtroopers, super grimy. That's pretty interesting, man. I want to see more of that.
The walkers
getting dropped down. Like that actually, that in the expanded universe, that battle is actually really huge. But they just touch on it for a tiny little bit of second. And it's like, oh man, maybe we a whole movie of Han with the Empire. That sounds really cool. It has moments of like these, okay, maybe let's go full on in this direction, or let's go full on in this direction. And maybe that's because it was originally with two different directors.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of this, it feels like that.
If they changed this to a 6-episode miniseries, you could have done like the first episode was that first planet with, and maybe releasing the same day, first and second episode. You have that one leading right into the Imperial era of Han Solo's life. And then from there, you know, you've got him and Chewie adventures, a little bit of that going up to Lando. And, you know, you can definitely rebook this into a much tighter 6-episode structure than a 2.5-hour or 2 hour 17 movie. The structure,
like, what if in that war scene he's fighting and there's like 20 dudes surrounding him and he just like KOs them all and they're like, that guy did that Solo. That was crazy.
Yeah, and then that's where his name comes from.
That's Han Solo right there.
It's like the things that we care about the most, they should have drawn out more, and they don't. And that's this movie's biggest sin for me.
Yeah.
Like, they introduced these cool concepts.
Like, we're going through this, and we're going like, oh, man, what would have made this better? But at the end of the day, I don't care, because guess what? I'm going to say it. We don't need... Mm-hmm. A prequel to Han Solo. And I know we kind of talked about what we don't need and what's a good story.
It is very hard when you take an interesting character and you give them, you know, a fleshed out backstory for them to be equally as interesting. Like, my prime example for a prequel is Better Call Saul. That show, what that did for Saul Goodman in Breaking Bad is just incredible. And all the nuanced things and the way that they layer his character way more like than it already was is that's my gold standard prequel is Better Call Saul. And this is kind of, I think, especially with comparing this to George Lucas's prequels, he took the series in a really different direction, and kind of, I think this is more of what people wanted the prequels to be, is something like this. But Solo,
very safe.
Solo wasn't, this isn't that good. Or maybe even good at all. So I do give George Lucas that respect where he was like, no, I have this story I want to tell. I'm going to tell my prequels, as opposed to, okay, let's answer every little question they have about every character that's in the original trilogy.
Which is what people want about these characters. And they just don't deliver.
But do we really need to see how Han Solo got his blaster? Like, they even play that moment in the movie. Like, you're supposed to be like, oh, no way, that's his blaster.
I think those moments are quick enough, though, where the fumbling of how they're delivered is passable to me.
A worst, like, yeah, other than the Solo name drop, is there a worst, like, thing that you just thought was so corny in this?
Probably the Wookiee. Speaking Wookiee, I like the reveal of Chewbacca being this beast. It could have been drawn out a little more, like, don't do this or you'll be sent to the beast. And then people are like, oh, I'm scared of the beast.
No part of you thinks that beast is going to be anything other than... Because even watching it today, I thought, oh, they want us to think this is Chewbacca,
Rebecca didn't
but it's
think it
not.
Was going to be Chewbacca. The first time I watched it, I didn't think it was going to be Chewbacca. I don't know. I guess it was dumb.
Because
that day
it felt
something?
Too easy.
Yeah.
Like, this is how they meet.
I guess so.
I don't know.
I think the look of the Millennium Falcon was pretty easy. Like, it just happens. It's not weathered over time. It's not because it's...
He, like, does some serious damage.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
The interior of it, though. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so white and shiny in this movie. He's got, what, 10 years to filth it the heck up? He has a crazy 10 years.
Guy, I think what we're trying to say here, guys, is that this movie, the good parts of this movie... are not anything really related to, like, Han Solo or the character of him. Like, because it's not all terrible, I'll say that, but nothing related to Han Solo, Alden Ehrenreich. It's all just kind of thrown together, or at least it feels contrived. Like that. Yes.
Yeah. What do you guys feel about Woody Harrelson as Beckett?
I really like Woody Harrelson. Like, I'm a big fan of Woody Harrelson, and I like what he does in this. It's just when you cast a really well-known actor in a Star Wars movie, I have a hard time buying into that character because I know Woody Harrelson from many other things. You know, it's like when you have the best thing Star Wars can do with their main characters is to cast relatively unknown characters. But Woody Harrelson has been in, you know, many, we've got many of his projects up here right now. Like, I know Woody Harrelson probably best from the Hunger Games films, you know, as Katniss's trainer. And that's what I see when I watch this movie. So it's kind of hard.
Haymitch.
So, but it's not bad. And I like him being this sort of like mentor to Han, kind of being no nonsense. I like the little betrayal that they have later on. But I mean, like almost everything else, it's like, yeah.
It is interesting though, because they hint at the stuff that I think we really wanted to see in a Han Solo backstory is, because when they climb out of those smuggler's hatches in A New Hope, you're like, okay, this Han Solo guy has super, like, what is he smuggling? He's up to some crazy nefarious things. But it's kind of just in this movie. It's like, oh,
this
yeah,
this is where they put the hatch. Things. Like,
and then at the end, Woody Harrelson's character, he teases, yeah, Han Solo, or Jabba the Hutt is looking for people. He's trying to hire people. Okay, that's probably a better movie too. Han Solo working for Jabba the Hutt. How does that debt happen? Why does he owe Jabba? It feels very isolated, and your theory of it being a trilogy, Ben, makes more sense if that is what they were shooting for. It was, for sure.
But this point, I feel like with this movie already made, where Han Solo has a debt and he needs to pay it off, what would they do? Two more of them? One with Jabba the Hutt, one with somebody else? Like,
Crimson Dawn and Darth Maul were supposed to play a really pivotal role.
Okay, so then Crimson Dawn, and then the third movie would be Jabba the Hutt. Like, is that really an interesting trilogy?
Well, it was supposed to delve into a lot more of the crime world. I mean, this kind of does, but Han Solo was supposed to be kind of caught up in the middle of this crime war between Crimson Dawn and the Hutt cartel, which, I mean, that kind of sounds pretty cool, I'm not going to lie. But this movie is, a lot of it is tied down, I feel like, to the character of Kira, a new love interest for Han Solo, Emilia Clarke, who I think she's a fantastic actress, but again,
she was amazing in Secret Invasion. Guys, go watch that show.
That was probably my favorite time from last year.
Oh my gosh. But no, you have Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones. I mean, not that any of us have seen that, but
she's really good. I like
her
a lot.
She's good, right?
Movie.
Yeah,
she's all right. But one thing that really disappointed me in this movie that I was looking forward to was the heist, the group of fellas that Han Solo runs into with Chewie, and they fly out and they're doing this heist for the hyperspace whatevers and the refined spice,
coaxium.
Yeah, and we got Jon Favreau as Rio Durant, this four-armed dude,
just very clearly Jon Favreau.
Yeah, it's just
doesn't
Jon
even
Favreau.
Hide it.
And then we've got, what's her name? Val, is that her? I don't know. There's the lady that's Beckett's wife.
Yep.
We have Vision.
We don't see Beckett mourn at all after her death.
He's cool, man. He's all right. He don't need to mourn her. Come on.
He's ready to retire.
He's like, wife, I love you so much.
You
just sacrifice yourself for the job. Oh, we're so scared of death. We're so scared of dying from Dryden Vos that, you know, we can't risk losing this bet, but we're gonna die on the job. Like,
I didn't like
what?
I didn't like that. Like, especially because I think as sometimes in movies you forget that. Okay, in the context of the film, this is a living, breathing person.
Yeah,
I don't know that death isn't convincing in any way.
There wasn't even a reaction shot with Beckett when she died. It was
there was.
He
screamed and it was so short.
All right, but compare losing the payload to losing his wife.
Oh, I'm with you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the rest of the movie is Woody Harrelson grieving over the loss of the payload.
Not his wife. Yeah, right.
I guess that could say something about his character, how similar he is to Han Solo, like in the OT. Because Beckett is clearly supposed to be a Han Solo type character that he is to grow up to be.
Yeah.
Where he can just move on from lover to lover or whatever until he meets Leia, of course. But once again, these characters just fall short. Like they don't get to the endearment that I needed to. I mean, Rio, I loved him until
he was great,
shot.
Yes.
And then, that one was kind of hurting because he was like, oh yeah, I'm all right. And then you see the ship just fall and Han Solo gets up there and he's like, yeah, you're a good kid. And, that was good. But the other one is just...
Even Paul Bettany's Dryden Voss is like...
All I saw was Vision there.
Hey, it's hard. You can't not see it. Like, he's too famous.
Well, you go down this line, you got Emilia Clarke, who I recognize from other things, Woody Harrelson, Donald Glover, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who was just in Indiana Jones, Paul yes. Bettany, who's Vision, Aaron Kellyman, who was the Flag Smasher.
Dude, the great villain from Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Falcon and Winter Soldier. It's a very recognizable cast for what is a Star Wars movie. So you are pulled out of it constantly. But Phoebe, Micah, you had mentioned L3, maybe being someone you like.
L337. I liked that she
droid.
Was written in a way that is memorable. Because she has her quest is just so bombastic.
So her,
like, droid rights, that's her whole thing, is she's a droid, and she's like... Every time someone asks her to do anything, she's just like, oh yeah, well, you're going to give me droid rights? You know, can I have equal say in what we're talking about here?
You don't get rights. You are a machine program.
We're sentient, see, too.
That's the thing.
It's so on the
nose. I understand that Star Wars has had droid sentience, or what seems like that. I mean, R2-D2, he has the most personality out of any droid and doesn't even speak English. They have a lot of personality. And Star Wars has always lead into that. But this is just, it's way too far. Like, I'm sorry. I really, every time this thing is on screen.
It's almost a parody of what
it's terrible.
It's doing.
Yeah. It's absolutely terrible. This is my least favorite part of the movie, is this droid. And they have a whole section.
Oh, and the
about
this
on the sex part of the section.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because what?
She's like, yeah, Lando likes me. And then
I'm sure you've noticed.
Yeah, I'm sure you've noticed. No, and Kira's like, how does that work? And then she's like, it works.
Trust me.
And then you're sitting there in the theaters when in a Star Wars movie, and you're like, keep in mind, I said a Star Wars movie, and you're left to think about and visualize Donald Glover having sex with this droid. That's what they want.
What makes it worse is that this comes after a sex joke with that character, where she's like using a saw on a fence, and she's like, "Don't look, it doesn't work when you guys are looking at me."
Oh,
and then she's like, her legs all spread. She's like squatting to get the other bars. I'm like,
See, you're more keen eyed.
I didn't notice that.
And then after that, when she's hacking into the computer after she had already freed, restraining boats, and then gets all the that was pretty funny with the astromechs going around freeing all the droids. That was funny. But then she's like digging through her crotch for a thing to plug into the console. I'm like, do you need to do that? Like, is this
but she's talking terrible. To Lando, and she's like, oh, you're gonna have to do that thing to me again later. You know, I'm feeling a little, stiff or something. I don't know.
That one was on the fence for me.
Terrible.
Not all of them?
That one was the only one where I was like, okay, that one could have worked if the other ones weren't as on-the-nose sexual. That one could have been like, oh, yeah.
Because that would just allude to...
Yeah. If it was just that one...
If we... Because our brain can do... It can be as, nasty or as pure as we want that to be. But then, they do literally just dive into it later in the movie. Oh, yeah, we just fully do
like
this.
The next scene. Yeah. That same scene, actually.
Uh-huh.
Because she already sat in the chair, and that's when Kira took over.
That's all to say that Star Wars does not ever have moments like this, and nor does it care to. It's always been about telling...
Hey, this is not your grandpappy's Star Wars, Ben.
This is
edgy. Come on.
This one stands alone, so low.
L3, her
and
whole...
peak.
Her whole arc is based off that one guy in the Mos Eisley Cantina when he's like, hey, we don't serve your kind here. They took that line and went, okay, Let's expand on that.
Let's expand on that. Yeah, that's interesting.
It's like they watched the Mos Eisley scene and then made a movie about it. Because even Rio says, oh, I'm going to make a cantina, you know, someplace not too hot.
See, that- Rose Tico got all the hate, but this character should have gotten all the hate. I know she kind of does. Oh, okay. No, Rio deserves all the praise in the world.
Yes.
It's L3 who deserves like
armed claps.
A bunch of trash. That way you're not even, it's not even Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
It's just a fictional character.
But you L3 stupid. Isn't the only one making
emphasis
sexual
on the
jokes.
Who else is?
I feel like Han Solo makes way more sexual references than in the OT.
Whoa, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, remember the scene where Han Solo and Kira, they're sucking face? And
they are. That's true.
He's like, hey, you know, we can do something if you know what I'm saying. And Kira's like, yeah, we can do... Watch the scene, guys.
So I feel like a lot of what this movie kind of touched on was what Andor ended up really, really succeeding at.
Yes.
Because Andor is more of that edginess that this kind of wants to be.
Yeah, it's really trying to reach that audience that Star Wars hadn't reached before. So I can see where they're coming from it, all right? Solo is supposed to be that sort of character. Deadpool had already come out. Deadpool was coming out around the same time, right? Deadpool 2. I can see how they may have leaned into that audience a little bit more than they would have with other Star Wars movies. Because if you had to, sure, this would be the movie to do it. I don't think it was executed as well as it could have, though.
What do you think about Lando?
I think that he, out of all of them, have the best impression of their... I mean, it's only three of them, right, that are returning characters, but... Never mind. Chewbacca has the best impression.
Chewbacca is dead on.
Like, yeah. Wow. Absolutely.
That's the coolest part about wherever Star Wars goes is you can't kill the dog. You can't kill Chewbacca. What's the lifespan on a Wookiee? Do we know?
500?
I think it's like 300 years.
So he can just keep him around because there's no reason to kill Chewbacca. You know, even the you know, Rise of Skywalker didn't dare kill Chewbacca. So
400.
Yeah, 400. So he can be, if you know, anywhere in the timeline. Throw
it's the
Chewbacca
opposite
in there.
End of human. So humans to dogs seven times, dogs to us, or humans to Wookiees seven times. We got there.
How cool!
Yeah.
So he's like superior to us.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's like a stage further. A
lot of people praise Donald Glover. I don't really like him. I'm not gonna lie.
I think he sounds a lot like Billy Dee Williams.
I think it's a guy trying to sound a lot like Billy Dee Williams.
I mean, yeah, that's what an impression is. I feel like Alden's impression is way worse than Donald Glover's impression of their respective
actors.
But I
also feel like he isn't trying as hard.
No,
to
I agree. Yeah. Yep.
He feels a lot more natural, like this is his interpretation of Lando,
yes. Yeah.
Than Alden trying to be Harrison Ford Han Solo.
I would flip that.
Really?
Yeah. I think
I feel like
Alden is more natural at being who he wants to be. Mm-hmm. And then Donald Glover is just fully like, let me take what Billy Dee did and just build on that.
Oh, I felt like Alden was trying to be Harrison Ford, Han Solo, but his inner actor was pulling through more than he wanted to. Like, I feel like the director was trying to pull him more towards, hey, do more Harrison Ford little thingies and... That's just how I felt. But then Donald Glover felt more like his own character because Lando didn't really have as big a role as Han to go off of, so he can be a little more free with it. Another thing real quick before we move completely off of L3, it's sad that her whole plot is her trying to have droid freedom, right? And then she ends up being trapped in the Millennium Falcon for eternity. That's kind of sad.
Yeah,
it's kind of good.
Which
now we get
is it good?
Does it
not retcon a lot of the epic flying that we see from characters later in the saga?
Why though?
Because she can.
Oh, is
do
she
things.
The reason that Rey can fly it so well?
I did allude to that. I saw a film theory video back in the day where he's like, everyone's saying Rey shouldn't be able to fly this good. Well, it's actually L3 flying this ship.
Is that why they put her in this? So they could retcon that one time when Rey... All right, she's not a Mary Sue, guys.
So let's talk about that. So as far as, you know, Mary Sue goes, we also have to bring to the stage the Gary Stew, which would be Han Solo.
Do we have to?
Is Han Solo a Gary Stew? Is he too good at a lot of things?
I think that they could. I mean, I kind of said this earlier. He has so many skills that were earned in the original trilogy because he was written well there. And this movie should have shown him acquiring those said skills, but it doesn't. So it makes him a Gary Sue. But it's like his abilities were already earned in the OT. So why do we... Maybe that's what they were going
for.
So
something that really struck me was when I was diving into the Legends stuff is in Legends, when Han Solo does the Kessel Run, it is not his first time doing it. It is he's being chased by the Empire, and they fly into the Kessel, and then he successfully performs it in 12 parsecs. It's not his first time navigating it. Just in that instant, he does succeed and does it as fast as that, which explains why the legend of it would build. Like, that's so cool. Because it's a common smuggler's route. I think they even say it in this movie. It's no big deal to do it, but in the distance that he was able to do it, that's what's huge. So I don't know, because it's like, okay, the first time meeting Lando, they bet on the ship.
Yeah.
The first time doing this, he sets the record. You know, the 12 parsecs. What, I don't know. I would have liked to have it less, oh yeah, let him just do this, succeed right away.
Yeah, it would have been cool if the legend was built up. There was like a time or a parsec goal in mind. Like, oh yeah, you can't, I don't know.
Because my biggest thing is, yeah, sure, Han Solo says it in A New Hope. Whatever, that's him bragging on his own ability. But when Rey, nobody from Jakku is like, no, this is the Millennium Falcon. This did that run. This did the Kessel run. That is where I'm like, okay, is that just Han Solo over the years building his own legend up? Mm-hmm. Is that what that is? It might be.
It has to be. Yeah. At that point, you know, what would it be, 50 years later or something like that? 30, 35, 40 years later?
I could see that.
At the end of the day, the worst thing you can do in a Star Wars film is make me not care. Like, and this movie does exactly that.
And I love how
I'm bored watching it.
Yeah, Micah opened with this is the most Marvel, you know, one of these. And it, what separates is just like fine movie from good movie to great movie is all right. Yeah. Whatever script with okay characters. But then think if the action is a level up, then I think it earns a lot of points. And I don't find any of this action really that great.
I think there are some cool action bits. When Kira is fighting Dryden Voss, I thought that was a cool little scene.
Man, they got some good choreography.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's some good choreography in there. And I like the Kessel Run. That action looks good. Especially when he flips the Millennium Falcon and it hits that TIE fighter into the asteroid. That was pretty sick. But, you know, overall...
I think
couldn't have done better.
The train heist. I think the train heist is really good.
I thought it was underwhelming.
I liked the stormtroopers. I liked that it was very high stakes, quick. I don't know. I thought it was really well filmed. I liked it being set in the snow. And obviously you have Rio being an absolute beast. And then
snow
his
scenes are good.
Very sad death. Yeah.
I didn't like it because... So Lady was surrounded, right? But why was she not just shot? Like, why was... She was... Out in the open. There was
Lady?
No cover.
You mean Val?
Val, yeah. Why was she just not shot right away by those droids?
Just the lady.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I wasn't sure if Val
I mean, she was dipping and dodging, no?
Yeah. I felt like the premise of that heist was unearned. It was just like, oh yeah, we show up, we do the thing. It's not like an Ocean's heist at all. That's, you know, masterclass, right?
Yeah.
Right. But even the heist stuff, because they do, like you talked about it earlier, they set up a team.
Mm.
It doesn't really, it's fine.
The team is knocked down to one.
Like when a team is assembled, I'm thinking like, okay, I want some Mission Impossible stuff to go down. And I don't know, this is okay.
This mission was very possible.
But they didn't succeed, though. On the train heist, at least.
That's because they suck.
Yeah, and then to cap it all off, Chewbacca being called, all right, Chewie, you got to do this last one on your own. probably 15 minutes before Chewie actually is in position to.
That was the worst part when he's talking. He's like, "Your name's Chewbacca. Oh, we're gonna have to get you a nickname."
That is too long.
I ain't saying that every time.
I ain't saying that.
Yeah, that's what
that was. It was one of the big critiques I saw of this movie, though, was that one shot of Chewbacca. So Han Solo sends him off. They're like on this side of the train, right? He has to go here to here. Han Solo goes up into the ship, talks to Rio, experiences his death. The bomb explodes. The bridge collapses. You know, they're still hundreds of feet out. And Chewbacca still gets to it last second. That's kind of wonky.
Listen, the train's moving fast. He has all that hair blowing in his face and eyes. He can't see.
I think
see.
That's an editing thing, though.
Give the Wookiee some slack.
Let the Wookiee win.
The single coolest element of this is something that us Lego Star Wars fans are very familiar with, and it's even referenced in the original trilogy, but we get to see Chewbacca pluck two arms off of a dude.
That was good.
That is good stuff. Yep. That's good
stuff.
And
that's when I thought Han was going to get his iconic vest.
Oh, no, it's the sleeves ripped off.
But it wasn't.
Dude, holy
cow. I was like, oh, yeah, this is where Han gets his iconic vest. Wow. And then it didn't happen.
Out of everything, they don't do the vest in this movie.
I feel like, because that's something.
He's got a vest.
That's something mentioned by name in Force
Awakens.
Even
X-Men Origins Wolverine gave Logan his signature jacket.
Yeah, come on.
Yes. I should mention that this was definitely meant to be one of the first of many Star Wars spin-off films, and after this was released, which we will get into because of budget
Wars
reasons.
Star Wars Origins.
Pretty
Han
much.
Solo.
This killed everything, basically,
because
of its return.
Was C-3PO in this? What's his, Anthony Daniels?
Anthony Daniels was in this, yes.
Yeah,
whoever Tack was.
Who's Tack?
I don't know.
We all
beats me.
We also get our Wicket back.
Oh, that's him. That's him.
Warwick Davis, right?
Live action.
Oh, dang. Oh, yeah. Wow. We get a whole Wookiee like prison break sequence too.
Wait, I gotta say, Warwick Davis character making his return from the Phantom Menace.
No way.
Playing the same character.
Is that actually him?
It's the same actor for sure, but it's the same name. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. 100 more points just added.
All
right. Weasel right there, Warwick Davis.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Which is cool because then that adds to the world building. So the whole thing is that the allies, which we thought were villains trying to steal from, I mean, we could have seen that, you know, trying to steal from Dryden's, what are they called? What's their group called? So Crimson Dawn was part of the five...
crime syndicates?
The syndicates. Yeah, syndicates. So there were the syndicates, and then there were the planets that were under these syndicates.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see, I mean, if that is canon, that Weasel is the same character, then you see some returning faces join the rebellion. And that's cool to me. That's cool.
Is that the rebellion, though? She says
the alliances.
She says rebellion, but
I don't think she's talking about the.
No, not the.
I don't think the
rebellion
had been established.
Oh, it had.
It had?
Oh, yeah, right. By this time for sure.
Well, you have Jimmy Schmidt, who's like, you know, from the, what's the character's name? Organa.
Prince. Oh, Bail Organa.
Bail Organa. You have Bail Organa, like, from the instant of Revenge of the Sith, going, okay, I gotta.
How many years after episode 3 is this?
This is 10 years after episode 3.
10 years after episode 3?
10 years before.
And how far is Fallen Order from?
Right around the same time.
Right around the same time, yeah. So there are still these different versions of a rebellion going around. I mean, in Fallen Order, you've got the guerrilla warfare with Saw Gerrera, right? That was a really cool element of that game to me. And
Bad Batch.
And Bad That's Batch, another one. Yeah, they've got that going on. And here we see the alliances. Really cool to see that there were all these semblances of rebellion, you know, sparking throughout the galaxy before it is organized into the main rebellion going on. Really cool to me.
You know what's not cool, though, is that this does not have a lightsaber battle. We cannot add it. Is this the first one that we can't add to our lightsaber battles?
There isn't even a staff-on-staff battle.
Guys, I don't know what movie you watched, but there is a quick duel in this movie.
There is, but it's
not
even
a lightsaber duel. I know what you're talking about.
But we have we have Luke versus Rey with their staffs in our our bracket. We have whatever the Wookiee movie. What is that? Who Noah and Tarek from Battle for Endor in this is Kira versus Vision. Not enterable. Well, I like not valid.
I mean, it wasn't even a staff on staff fight.
It was cool, I will say.
There's some igniting, yeah, though. He ignites his little
what are those
blade things.
Yeah.
Are those kyber crystal infused little blades?
Vibro blades, I'm pretty
sure. We don't have to throw it on. I just wanted to mention if we're reaching, that would be a reach.
That would be the reach. What do you think, Micah? Do we include this thing?
Well, let me see if there are kyber crystals in his weapon.
I don't like that the name of it is Dryden Voss's Peters.
One thing that I didn't understand. All right, so
that's terrible.
Han Solo was hiding from Dryden while he was wielding these
things.
Those
are some gnarly brass
knuckles.
But
he had Han Solo had a blaster. Why didn't he just shoot him? He totally had the upper hand.
What? I was thinking that same thing.
He was bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Wait, go down. Look.
What?
Look at him mid duel right there.
I think we have to include
mid duel.
Rechargeable energy cells. Are they kyber crystals at all? No, there's nothing. It's just energy. All right. I mean,
it's an energy blade. We're counting it. We
can add it. I don't care.
They're pretty cool though. Yeah, I like the design. They are. Yep. Like the name is terrible.
I think it goes above Rey and Luke. I think it's the best out of the non-lightsaber fights that we get.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's all right.
Because he dies pretty cool, like the way the blade goes into his chest.
And I like how they use levels there, too, because Kira goes onto the ground and she's got the thing, right? The little staff pointed straight up at him. That was really cool. They used, like, physicality in that battle
He had the high ground, but she won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really
good
cool.
Dang. Stuff. Kira's a beast.
Who's Rebolt?
Well, I want to know who you guys think is a beast in this movie. Let's do favorite character.
Oh.
Ethan, do you have a favorite character in Solo?
Oh, man. I'm trying. I've taken Chewbacca many times on this marathon, and I'm trying to not take Chewbacca.
Take Leet.
There's a decent amount of characters in here.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I'll
take Weasel.
Throw
a Ben in this one.
Throw a Ben. No, because I think Ben's going to take Rio, and I want to snag Rio right now.
Do it.
Oh, I was going to snag Rio.
John Favreau. So lovely that in the midst of John Favreau slaving over the Mandalorian, he donated some of his voice to this fantastic work of Star Wars cinema. Oh, and I forgot Darth Maul was in this. Darth Maul's my favorite character.
Oh, Ray Park, let's go.
Ray Park and Sam Witwer coming back. No, I'll take Rio. He was fun. He was very clearly just Jon Favreau voice, you know, just doing his thing. But it was fun.
Okay.
Pulled me out of the movie, but gave me something to enjoy.
Yeah, right. Micah?
I gotta say, my favorite is the lighting
Civilian
department.
Civilian 2?
The lighting department and just not lighting the first half hour of this movie.
Yeah, like what?
I couldn't see these guys.
It's not
good. It was really tough.
It is.
I wanted to add that real quick. I don't know. Man. It's rough.
Dude, take Secret Invasion.
Do
it. You wanted Elfrid.
You wanted it. I
take
saw
Chewbacca
you.
Because this is the only time that we get a plot line with Chewbacca in it that, like, he does something in it besides just, you know, and just do, you know, like Chewbacca. He actually has some heart in him, and that's cool. He deserved a medal for this, too.
You don't have to wait long to see him get a medal, Mike.
I can't wait. Next week,
Next week, baby.
That's right.
We're going to go with Chewie.
Chewbacca, yeah.
Played by Junis Suotamo.
He's done it for all the Disney films.
He did it for Force Awakens, too?
Yes, he did.
Dude, is he playing the Wookiee in...
Yes, he is.
In what's that show? The one coming
Acolyte.
Out? Acolyte. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool.
He was also the Scourge in the Willow TV series.
Which you can go watch on Disney. Ooh!
You can pirate today on... multiple torrent sites.
Guys, buy physical media. Ooh. Or else your
there
favorite...
There is no physical media.
That's right. I know. But like that's, they could take stuff away from
How
us whenever
Ron
they want.
How does Ron Howard feel about this?
About this movie?
About
he loves
Willow.
It, dude.
No. About Willow being ripped out from all
Ron
streaming.
Howard?
Dude, I don't think
Ron
anyone
Howard?
Really cares because Willow, I've heard, sucked.
Because he directed the OG.
Dude, did he?
Look at that peak show. Jonathan Kasdan directed or created that, at least.
Oof.
So, I don't know. It was all at the same time.
It is fun, though, that Ron Howard stars in American Graffiti, which was George Lucas's first, like, big hit.
Yeah.
So, it is very poetic to see him get to direct a Star Wars movie. You just wish that it was a better one.
Yeah. I got to see that one.
I wish he didn't come in at the last second and was like, all right, I'll take over. I'll see what I can do here.
Although we do have to watch Ron Howard narrate the original trilogy when we're done with this, because that is a great video.
Okay. I'm going Darth Maul. Cameo appearances, he counts in this one. And honestly, I'm not going to... It's probably my favorite.
This is our first...
Which performance is better, Ray Park or Sam Witwer's?
Ooh!
I mean, that's not even a question, dude.
All right, I do have one critique about Darth Maul real
quick.
He only ignited his lightsaber so that
the
audience could be like... No. So the audience was definitely like... They knew that half of them would be like, Darth Maul, Darth Maul, Darth... And then the other half would be like, huh? Who's this red guy?
Who?
Yeah. Like, so first the leg was revealed, right? You could see the metal leg. You can hear Sam Witwer's voice, right? And then you see the face a little bit. Then the hood is opened up. And, oh, you see the horns. And if that didn't tip you off, oh, he's got the lightsaber.
Ooh. Not just one. Oh. But two. There's no solo blades in this movie.
That's the guy who had the double blade in Phantom Menace
all those years ago.
No way. His look is great, though. Great look. Oh, really cool live action.
I really loved Rebecca's reaction to that. So,
which was
so, you know, the first reveal, the leg.
Who's Rebecca for those listening?
Rebecca's my fiance. Watched this movie with her. She thought this was Rogue One when I put it on. She was like, this is the... Oh, I thought this was Rogue One. That was the one I was thinking you were... No, it's the other one with a one, you know...
It's not Rogue Solo?
Synonym in it,
One, right.
Yeah. So the foot was revealed,
what if
nothing.
They just called this movie One?
The face was revealed, nothing. The hood comes off, nothing. The lightsaber ignited, nothing. And I'm like, do you remember from Phantom Menace? And she was like, oh, yeah.
Just that nothing.
Guy. Yep. Which is how people felt when they saw this in the theaters, because a lot of people
didn't see it in
went
theaters.
To see this in theaters.
You're trying to see how much this movie made?
I'm trying to see our box office, Micah.
All right, so the budget for this was $275, which same budget as Rise of Skywalker. It's on par. It's an Avengers-level threat, man. These are big... Opening weekend, it made $84 million.
Wow.
Ouch.
Comparing that to
what? Like,
just compare that to The Last Jedi.
Last Jedi, 220.
The 220 clone, what?
220 mil.
Yep. My
Miller? Attack of the Clones made $80 million. But the budget was also half. And this is only opening weekend, by the way. And then Last Jedi made $1.3 billion, right? Four times its budget. Solo, A Star Wars Story made $392 million.
Ooh.
Only 1.4 times its budget. This is the only box office stinker Star Wars has ever put out in theaters.
Dude,
Second only to Mandalorian and Grogu.
Oh. The Last Jedi made $1 billion more dollars than this movie did.
Imagine being
That's crazy. Billion
less. A billion less.
I think if they released it in during the holiday season, like every other freaking Star Wars movie did during this time, it would have made a heck of a lot more money.
Why? Some people are one movie a quarter people. Like, they'll watch four movies a year.
Like in theaters?
Yeah, in theaters. Yeah. Like, Ethan, how many movies have you seen this year?
Listen, I'm terrible this year. I've only seen Dune Part 2 in theaters.
So if you saw Dune Part 2 this year, and this came out in May,
mm-hmm.
you may not have seen this.
Right.
Like that.
Well, what is this equivalent to that came out this year? Like, it's better than an Argyle, right? It's better. I don't know what else came out this year.
This would be like
Civil War. It's better. It's not as good as Civil War.
This would be like that. That Frankenstein movie by Robin
Williams.
Can you Zelda Williams?
Look up Frankenstein. Pull up the number on the re-release of Spider-Man 2.
It made $1 million.
Yeah, in its re-release.
Yeah, yeah. It made $1 million, which was more than the it like was second on the box office.
Ooh, it was packed when we went.
Killed Solo, man. Just killed it.
Yeah, so
so for those of you listening far into the future, because we know you just found our podcast, you love us, thank you very much. This past week, Spider-Man 2 just re-released in theaters. So that's why we're randomly talking about the Spider-Man 2 numbers right now.
What week is this? April? Nice. This one? Yeah, Civil War at the top. Oh, okay. Shrek 2 re-release made $3
million. Just killing it. Yep.
Yeah. All right, so Civil War is the highest grossing A24 movie ever.
Mm.
And it's made $45 million in the gross. So, I mean, it made a more $1 billion.
You need to wait until this week is over, because they're still finalizing the numbers for Spider-Man 2, I think.
Dune Part 2 made almost as much as this movie made domestically. Oh, no, total, whatever.
You're talking about this week. Or what are you talking about?
No, total. Dune Part 2 has made $276 million.
Yeah.
And
Solo.
Solo.
That's off.
I don't know about that, bro.
I know it passed $600 million.
I'm going to drop it.
That was this week, wasn't it? What are we looking at?
I don't know.
Guys, we're not box office professionals.
No,
we're
I'm not
sorry
the box office mojo. Ethan.
pretending like we know what we're talking
about.
It
says total gross.
That's what we do every week.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of pretending to know what we're
Maybe
talking
it's
about.
Just this month.
Do you have a favorite scene in Solo, Ethan?
Oh, I forgot
are you
about
picking
this.
Him twice.
Forgot about the favorite scene.
Picking who twice? Me?
Yeah, favorite character, your first dibs, favorite scene.
Dude,
first dibs.
Ben always gives me first dibs. All
right, I'm picking Kessel Run. I'm stealing it out from Ethan's
because I was totally
fingers.
Gonna pick that.
Yeah, you were. I already talked about it before, so I just wanted to
The Kessel Run totally didn't end, and I went, "Was that the famous Kessel Run that just happened?"
Ooh. I liked when what's his name, that big beast in the Kessel Run got skinned alive by the gravitational sphere. That was pretty grotesque.
So I like the idea of the Kessel Run maybe not even being that cool, but Han Solo in the just being himself has not only built the legend of him doing the Kessel Run, but that the Kessel Run is this insane. And it was pretty insane in the movie, but there's an episode of Psych for all my Psych fans out there. I think it's called Scary Sherry, where the episode opens with this woman kind of falling out a window. And Sean and Gus, our main characters, they see part of that. And then their dad covers their eyes and they don't see her jump fully. Then years pass and they find out that this woman actually never jumped out this window. But the two boys, Sean and Gus, they built up this legend. Just telling the story, telling the tale. And they're like, we're the reason Scary Sherry exists. And I kind of like to think like that's the Kessel Run. Is the Kessel Run, like, is it cool because Han Solo made it cool?
You know, it was always
I like that.
It was kind of alluding to the big fish. There's always a bigger fish. I mean, there was that big beast. It looked like the big fish in Phantom Menace.
Oh,
and if you guys know the phrase "big fish," I mean, it's always you know the fish was this big when I caught it, and then months later, oh, it was this big. That's exactly what we're talking about here.
It does very much feel like someone trying to tell the story of Han Solo. With all the elements just thrown in.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's Han Solo, like, on his deathbed, you know, where after he falls into Starkiller, this is my life. It's not a great one, but it's the one I had.
So who's taking the Kessel Run?
Is I
it
am.
Mike is
Ethan
taking
hated
it. Dang.
No, I didn't hate it. It just
said, this is trash. This is not what I thought I watched episode 4 back in 1977.
It felt pretty underwhelming
I'm with Ethan
to
on
me.
This one. Yeah.
I saw it and I was like, okay, yeah. Because he leans over to Kira. Remember that thing I did back in the day?
Yeah.
Oh, but it didn't work then. It's going to work now. And I don't know why I'm just suddenly Christian Bale's Batman, but here we go.
What is your favorite scene?
Chewbacca ripping off the arms.
Nice.
Coolest part of the movie.
Elevator scene?
Elevator scene. Oh, love me a good elevator scene.
Oh. My favorite is L3 dying. I'm just kidding.
They really like that scene. Lando, they really try to sell you the drama of Lando like running. L3 dies.
No.
She's crumbled. He's like, no.
Dude, and then falling apart.
And he gets shot too. And then Chewbacca carries both of them. I love the raw strength you see of Chewbacca too, because he's carrying for Beckett. He's carrying those two mega heavy boxes. But it looks like he's just carrying like a pillow.
Yeah, you can totally tell it's just some skeleton dude in the costume.
Dang. I'll go Darth Maul. I've already talked about that.
Favorite character and favorite scene are the same thing.
Dang.
Guys,
Disney. I want to point out real quick. This movie made $392 million. Guys, that is not a bad number. That's a lot of money.
It is when your budget's
a lot of money.
It still made money.
Million.
Yeah. It's not a flop. It's a Star Wars flop for sure, but not
it's,
a...
No, dude,
no, it's a box office.
This is
failure.
A flop, dude.
It has to make at least, I think, two or three times its budget.
It needs to double its budget.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know, marketing and, you know, whatever.
Yippity-yappity.
And that's a big problem that we see with Marvel movies now, too. So not only does it have the Marvel writing, but it's got the Marvel budgets and budget box office failures that follow.
The current Marvel.
Ouch.
That sucks.
So
what about awards, Mike?
Yeah, this movie was nominated for a couple things here.
What?
So we have Best Visual Effects Award, Academy Award nomination.
That's wild.
It lost it to First Man, which is a movie I just saw this week. Deserved, yeah.
Over Infinity War,
dude?
No, not over Infinity War.
Infinity War was snubbed. That.
Over Christopher Robin?
Yeah, I don't know why Christopher Robin's
dude,
up
Christopher
there.
Robin's
over Ready
peak.
Player One? Come on, guys.
Peak?
Ready Player One was also nominated bad. And won Best Documentary Feature. Oh, wait. That's Free Solo. Sorry, guys. That's a different one.
That is awesome that it's right under this category, though.
But yeah, this was the year of Bohemian Rhapsody, Black Panther, A Star Was Born, A Quiet Place. Bohemian Rhapsody swept this year.
Yawn.
Yeah, yawn. Black Panther swept this year. This
Green
was the year,
Book. Oh, yes.
This was the year that Alfonso Cuarón won Best Achievement in Directing. For Roma, he got the bag for Prisoner of Azkaban, and he went and made this movie.
Nice.
Super cool.
Who was best actor this year?
Best actor in a supporting role was Mahershala Ali.
For the Green Book. The peak Green Book.
Rami Malek was best leader because he swept that year.
Bohemian.
Viggo Mortensen was nominated and didn't win.
Yeah.
Oh,
Green Book won Best Motion Picture that year.
All right. There we go.
Which is one of the most controversial wins of all time.
Dude,
but
no way, bro.
Judge. I haven't seen it.
Green Book is so peak.
You like it?
Love it.
People on Letterboxd hate it.
Yeah, well, there's reasons why. And I just, it's
I'll
stupid
have to watch it.
Social media.
All right, Ben, people. I want to hear your opinion on this. Grammy nominated for Best Instrumental Composition for Mind Mission. For Mind Mission,
of all the tracks you could pick, all
right, let's see.
But
which
they've
one
messed
is
it
the
up. They've messed it up so many times in the past. For
don't play it. I don't want to get.
I just want to see.
Writ.
All right, this isn't even the most listened to track,
dude,
on the album.
Mind Mission of all the freaking ones.
When was the Mind
Gosh.
Mission? Is that the Castle Run?
No, that's when they're in through the mines, going through it where Chewbacca's rescuing those Wookiees or whatever.
Yes.
There are so many better tracks.
Yeah, you have
it's a good album, but Mind Mission.
What else has John Powell done?
He did a lot of DreamWorks films. In fact, I've got Kung Fu Panda right up there.
Ooh.
He helped Hans Zimmer compose for that. He also composed the excellent How to Train Your Dragon series. He was sole credited for that. So the Forbidden Friendship track, most people know that one if you know any of his work, and now it's really good. But his album for Solo is okay. I'm not gonna lie. It's I'm not. John Williams came back to do the main theme, which is I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right.
There is nothing, and I mean nothing, spectacular about this movie. It is a mid movie.
We've been avoiding that word all podcast, listeners. We try not to say it. We only throw that out for the big guns, you know? But that's what this whole podcast has been leading to, is us saying, all three of us collectively, it's mid.
Mid.
Goodbye. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you later. We're not even going to give scores.
No scores. Wow. Just mid.
Well, speaking of scores, yeah. Speaking of scores, I want to know what the internet thinks about this, Micah.
You want to know what the internet thinks?
I do. I would love to.
Real quick, I was trying to find. I was trying to find what this lost to in the Grammys. So the year before this movie came out, Childish Gambino had a song come out called "This Is America," and that won everything at the Grammy Awards. So I thought that was cool. I remember when this movie came out, everyone was like, "Oh, that was the guy who did "This Is America," the song."
When did he become cultural, like everyone recognizes him as an actor, community for sure. But what was his first big movie?
I don't know, I can only think of one of his names at a time. I can't think of Donald Glover. All right,
Donald Glover, Childish Gambino. Yeah,
I can only think of Childish Gambino.
It was in the peak Spider-Man Homecoming, you know.
That's true. And in
and Atlanta is a show he's in that is really, really popular.
The Martian? He was in The Martian.
Was he?
Yeah, it's Rich Brunell, that character.
He was Miles Morales for 2 episodes of Ultimate Spider-Man.
True.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I don't know, man.
Dude, I want to know the scores, Micah.
You want to know the scores?
Yeah, I do. I want to know what the internet thinks about this.
Solo, A Star Wars Story. Rotten Tomatoes critic, 69%. Nice.
Nice.
Rotten Tomatoes user, 63%. Metacritic critic score, 62. Metacritic user, 6.1 out of 10. Letterboxd score, just a little over 2.5. So it's like almost a 3.
Yeah.
IMDb, 6.9 out of 10. Nice. Averaging out to a 6.3 out of 10.
I don't know.
Completely.
It's pretty decent. Average. Decent, average right there from our internet scores.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I don't think this is an offensively bad movie.
No, it's not. It's not.
Like, it doesn't do anything wrong.
I was about to say The Last Jedi, but you guys don't agree.
Yeah.
Not even close.
This doesn't do anything for me that's like, oh, they ruined Solo. They took such bad. Because this is a very safe movie.
It is. Yeah.
This is like safer than the Force Awakens. We thought that The Force Awakens was a safe movie. I mean, at least that was my opinion.
So I love that you bring that up because The Force Awakens famously brought back Han Solo and the Chewbacca, the Millennium Falcon, you know, a lot of this iconic stuff. And we saw a lot of this stuff in The Force Awakens, like being back in the ship, seeing Han Solo again, seeing Chewie again. Man, that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then this movie comes out. How about we show you all that again, but, you know, kind of clean it a little. Let's just scrub it.
You think that has
it.
Something to do with it? Is that
the appeal? Like
we already saw this, so why are we seeing it
again? I just saw the ship on the big screen being way cooler than it is in this movie. You know, with Harrison Ford. It's not like Harrison Ford's been away from the role for hundreds of years. He played it like 2 years before this movie came out.
The fans are going to be so outraged that we killed Han Solo, so we have to do another film with
him. I just think they just wanted to make a movie, and this was kind of the first thing on the board, and they looked at that and said, okay, yeah.
Before we go into our scores, is there one character you would have rather have had a Star Wars story based on from anything that we have already, like an already introduced, well-established character?
So kind of a spinoff.
Is there one character that you would have rather seen? Because I feel like a Princess Leia as a general could have been cool.
Oh, Micah's cooking with gas. What is Micah cooking, folks?
What was he cooking?
I don't know. We could have had Alderaan politics.
Guys.
Dude,
come on.
You're talking about cinema, Micah.
Let's think outside the box here.
Jar Jar Binks?
Let's do unexplored. How about we like... No, Micah, there is not one. There is many stories that are way more interesting than this. Like, I almost feel
we had a Boba Fett movie.
We almost did have a Boba Fett movie.
But we got a really good show.
Yeah, that's right.
Like even Kenobi, a Star Wars story, like that could be something.
If we had to stop, if we had to stop all Star Wars after The Rise of Skywalker, and we had to have a Star Wars story movie before Rise of Skywalker, I feel like if they had a Boba Fett movie, that would have been a neat bow. Like they would have touched everything.
A Boba Fett movie would have been the neat bow.
Yeah, because everyone was like, we need... No. It wouldn't have been a neat bow on like the entire
Guys,
story
we know
whole.
That you fans have wanted everything. But here...
We have given you everything now. We can say that and be done.
I guess from a standpoint of, okay, this is a clone. You know, Boba Fett's a clone. So that's your prequels right there. He was in the OT. You know, Micah, your theory of it being a bow is all too cooking. Real. You're cooking with the...
This is the Boba Fett saga.
Dang.
It's... Maybe Ray should have said that at the end of the movie. I'm Ray.
Ray Fett.
I'm Ray Fett. Connecting all the dots.
Ray Park.
I'm a clone, actually.
She looks across the field, and it's just every
it's
clone.
Big Boba Fett.
And Boba Fett climbs out of the Sarlacc pit. With this,
wait, that would have been the reveal.
Oh, and then it would have spot. Oh,
we're cooking now.
Write that down. Here, get a piece of paper.
Like a Bantha. You gotta write it like a Bantha. That's right.
Oh, man.
But no one cares about the internet scores. Those
get
are
out of here.
Those are garbage. You don't sit around for an hour and a half listening to us talk to hear the internet scores. You can look those up. But what you care about are the three very handsome men who have stronger bones now, weirdly, from maybe it's that blue milk we drank, guys.
Nice.
I'm feeling it. It's coursing through our veins.
Nice.
It's really making me have to go to the bathroom, too.
Well,
In a good way.
That's right. Going to the bathroom in a bad way sucks.
Yeah.
Ethan, take us through your score. Okay. What do you got for Solo?
So leading up to this movie, I was really kind of excited because this is my favorite time of Star Wars. I love all the meat and storytelling that happens between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. And Han Solo is a big part of that in as far as A New Hope goes. So not remembering this movie coming into it, I really wanted this to be one of those hidden gems. I wanted this to be one of those Star Wars movies that I came out of it and went, you know what? Yeah, sure. We can fight online about, you know, The Last Jedi, if it's any good. We can fight online about The Force Awakens. Everyone likes Rogue One, but it's Han Solo, the Solo movie. You know, maybe that's a hidden gem. And it's not. It does everything that, you know, kind of, it's like Disney handed Ron Howard a checklist and said, you have to hit everything in this thing, you know, on our checklist. Nail it out. All these elements have to be in the movie. Then you can throw a little bit of your own stuff in there. And it feels like that's what he did. And it doesn't feel earned in any way. I would have loved for something. Yeah. The name of the movie is Solo. So I feel like you could have had that reveal build up to that in some way cooler. Not that that's, I mean, I always, before watching this, just assumed his name was just Han Solo. I didn't know that it was his name was just Han, and here you go, Solo. I don't know, whatever.
It's but about his character. He doesn't relate to anybody.
This movie does what
takes no sides.
What a bad prequel does, and it damages what I think comes after. Not that it ruins, you know, Han Solo's character. It doesn't ruin A New Hope because that's a great movie. But it makes it a little less interesting and kind of. I don't know. Are you that cool, dude? You're a scoundrel. But I don't know. You are pretty scruffy looking. You're a little too clean in this movie.
Little nerf herder.
So, I don't. It does. I talked about Better Call Saul. I talked about George Lucas's prequels. How those did something different, and they had something different to say, as opposed to just building up to A New Hope and saying, "Here's everything that wasn't established. We're gonna establish it." Boom. It just feels very contrived and. I was thinking about it, and I want to apologize, first of all, for Attack of the Clones. I don't regret my score. I regret my attitude during that podcast. I must have been a long day. I don't know what was going on.
Hey.
There was some screaming going on. I apologize, boys.
You're good.
But I like Attack of the Clones more than I like this movie. I think this is the worst prequel, period, in Star Wars that we've seen. I don't think that's up for debate. It just, it's at least interesting, and it doesn't do everything it brings to the table. Isn't, you know, we don't like L3. Not a very interesting story. Chewbacca's cool as always, but it's really hard to screw up Chewbacca. He's great. And its own story, the heist stuff, and Woody Harrelson, it's all fine. And I think this movie's fine. I think it's a little better than bad, and a little better than, as Ben said, mid, which five would be mid of the road. Think it's a 5.5 for me. It's just above that middle of the road area, but not in a point where I think it offers anything to the Star Wars universe. That, like Ben said, it references a lot. And side note, but Ben, we didn't mention her yet. You famously, your mom would not let you watch The Clone Wars because of a certain character.
That's a good point. Aura Singh. Like I said, there's a Bosk reference, yeah, too. There's, yes, a lot of cool, like, so, little bits.
But we say that because Aura Singh gets killed by...
Why couldn't you watch
Beckett?
Clone Wars because of Aura Singh? Because
she's a baddie.
Well, here, why don't you look at, pull up that photo right there at the bottom middle? Bottom, no, that one right there.
That's why.
That's why I couldn't watch it, dude.
Dang, because she's bald?
She was walking around in one of the episodes. She comes up and she just absolutely macks Hondo. And Mom came down during that scene. She's like, what the heck are you watching? But
also,
I think she was
a Phantom Menace fraternity.
Holy catfish. Look at that Phantom Menace. Holy cow. Dang, dude. But I like your point about that. That is a plus to this. Right, the references.
Yeah, the little references. Yeah. But 5.5s where I put this. So I don't know. I wanted to love this and it was just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Het?
For me, so 5, yeah, middle of the road is where I would put a 5. But for me, I feel like this is so far from the magic that we've had, that Star Wars was established on, but we've kind of been growing away from that since the prequels. The magic hasn't really been there. It's shifted tone so much since A New Hope, and watching all of these movies has shown that Star Wars originally wasn't magic, so I can't scale it. I mean, originally, yeah, the first one was magic, but 5 and 6 wasn't as magic to me as I thought they would be. So I can't base it on the magic. However, because it's Disney, there's a lot of magic in there. I mean, the mouse, he puts his little strings on the puppets and, you know, the House of Mouse really puts together a movie here. And they really tickle my entertainment brain cells saying the Kessel Run is real fun. For me, this is like junk food in a movie. There's nothing really good about it for you. I'm not a big junk food movie guy. Like, I'm not going to go back, watch this a million times. For me, a 7 is like a, yeah, I'd watch this again if it's on. It's just below that for me. It's like a 6.5. It's like a 6.5.
I like that. That's not bad.
It's like a, if someone hasn't seen it before,
yeah,
and they're putting
your
it on,
aunt,
maybe. Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I would watch this with my aunt. I would say it's not worth skipping entirely. Like, if you've seen the rest of them, why not watch this one? Like, for my aunt, why not? It's, I mean, watch it once. If you don't like it, don't
watch
it again.
Because we could look up a plethora of movies that have a runtime less than 2.
Yeah, like, I totally would have been fine.
And that would be your reason why not watch this. Yeah,
I would have been fine not watching this again. But it was good for me to solidify my thoughts of, yeah, it wasn't.
Right.
It wasn't worth watching very much.
That is the greatest thing about this, is because I don't know if we didn't have this podcast, guys, if I would ever have watched some of the movies that we have watched on this podcast again or for the first time.
Hey, they say life finds a way, and us three would have found a way to watch Elektra if it weren't for
Dude,
this amazing
I
podcast.
Still haven't I don't watched know. The holiday special.
Ooh, wow, Micah, we've got 1 week left.
2 weeks.
You're not watching
2 weeks, I said.
2 weeks.
All right, well, I will split the middle of
10.
Your scores. I'll go 6 right off the bat. This is the movie that you can just, it's just, you can skip. For me, you can skip this thing. Yeah. It's inoffensive. It does not make me mad. It just makes me, you know, question Disney's handling of this franchise. Like, why are we doing this?
I say,
why are we making...
It's almost... Yeah, sorry, I'm interrupting you, Ben. Go.
Why are we making and spending $275 million on a Han Solo prequel film that does not do anything to enhance his character, that actually maybe it detracts his character? Alden Ehrenreich, I'm sorry, does not do a good job in this. I think some of his, in some scenes actually, it's almost kind of cringeworthy the way he tries to emulate Harrison Ford. Agreed. And I know it's kind of hard to do that, but he has even little moments that are, that just feel very Marvel-y. Like at, during the end, for example, when he goes and walks out with Emphas Nest and he's like, see that ship over there? There are so many guys in there. And then it flies off and it's supposed to be this funny little scene. And then he walks back and he's like, all right, you do your thing. And it's like, oh, that hurts. That's yeah, cringe, man.
I
don't
see that in Marvel.
Come on. That's not Han Solo. Right.
And we've said this a lot throughout the podcast. By Marvel-y, we're not like dissing all of Marvel and in at its whole. Us three collectively have watched every single Marvel theatrically released Marvel movie. You know, we've seen them all.
Yeah.
So we know where the span is, and we know what the average Marvel movie. Yeah. Are there great Marvel movies? Yes. And we're not talking about those when we're referencing Marvel as a whole.
I'm talking the Marvels, your Thor, Love and Thunder, your Secret Invasion, those type projects.
Recent Marvel.
Recent Marvel, absolutely. Although, hopefully, recent Marvel is looking pretty nice.
Deadpool 3.
Go see that. Deadpool Wolverine. So, at the end of the day, that's my score. Honestly, we spent a lot more time than I thought we were going to be talking about Solo.
I was feeling like a 40-minute podcast.
Honestly,
today.
Yes, but I mean,
we spent a lot
that
of it
just
talking
goes
about
to
Blue
show.
Milk, though.
It's true. It goes to show, though, when you're talking about Star Wars, there's just a lot of things
too
to
much.
Say. There's a lot. It's
also
you can have so much
also
to say.
Han Solo says, "I have a really good feeling about this,"
which
and the iconic "I hate you, I know" lines.
Ooh. Yes. Not great. Not great. Speaking of not great, or maybe it is great, next week we have Rise of Skywalker.
Our average for Solo was a 6.
Ooh. I'm sorry, Micah. Yes.
We're skipping something very important.
Ben's was a 6. I was a 6.5. Ethan was a 5.5. Average to a 6.
Which puts it where in our ranking? Because that's what I put in the I put on the thumbnail or the title. We rank these. Have to know where this falls.
That's right.
This is 10th place. Is that right? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 10th place.
10th
place out of, I believe we're at 14 now.
So this is the least of the live action films.
Yes. This is
Last Jedi.
Hold on. It is not the least of the live action films. The Ewok movies were very much live action.
So the least of the theatrically released live action films.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's our ranking, Micah. From the bottom, maybe?
From the bottom? Oh, yeah. We don't want to spoil too much from our Star Wars Marvel or Star Wars Multiverse Monologues marathon wrap up video in 2 weeks, but yeah, this is fifth from the bottom. So we have Holiday Special, but I haven't seen that yet. Caravan of Courage, Ewok Adventure. Ewoks, The Battle for Endor, Star Wars, The Clone Wars film, and Solo, A Star Wars Story, which also wraps up our trilogy of anthology films.
Oh.
We've got... Oh, hold on. Hold the phone. Yeah. So we've got the Clone Wars animated movie. We've got Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. We've got Solo, A Star Wars Story. We're wrapping those up into a trilogy.
Yeah.
With our averages together, that's a 6.95.
Okay.
So not far off from I mean, I guess at an average, the internet scores, but, you know, I'm fine with that.
When it goes to the anthology ones, they're very middle of the road.
We're fine.
Yeah. That's good.
I mean, Rogue One was really solid, but...
I mean, Last Jedi should be lower, but that's fine.
Yeah.
It's not a bad ranking.
We watched
spot.
A different movie than Ben did last
week.
We
did.
And a vast majority of Star Wars fans.
Yeah, you definitely did.
I was supposed to watch Solo much earlier than I did, but I kept rewatching the Last Jedi scenes.
Just you because. Kept watching The Last Jedi full on repeat.
Yeah, just
three times.
I'm always like, watching The Last Jedi.
Added on like Red Notice.
It just, but more. I'm watching The Last Jedi.
Guys,
more.
We have
so more much red, than Red Notice?
More, so much red on crate. I noticed the red. For real.
I also want to add real quick, Hollywood Reporter gave this fifth place. So that's interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, what did they watch?
I don't know. But you know what we're watching next week? Star Wars Episode 9. The Rise of Skywalker.
So
finale.
That'll be such a fun episode, and might even hit the 4-hour mark. So we'll be ready.
I honestly though, how long was Last Jedi?
Last Jedi was 220,
which was how long the movie was.
We almost hit the runtime of that. We were like 10 minutes short.
We're gonna hit the runtime of Rise of Skywalker. That's for sure.
Good.
I have a lot. Because
I think we'll
to say.
I think we will be united next week. I feel like we might be, just because regardless of how you felt about Force Awakens, regardless of how you felt about The Last Jedi, I think we don't know. We'll see because at least where me and Micah are, I was super jazzed off the direction that The Last Jedi took us and really like, okay, where's Kylo Ren going to go? Where is, you know, all these, where are they, where is it leading to?
I'm scared.
Really interesting.
I'm really scared. I liked Rise of Skywalker coming out of the
theaters.
Do
you guys hear that? What? Is that death? Is death speaking?
Oh. The dead speak?
The dead speak. Guys, we're getting there. We've been talking about it all week. Sheev Palpatine.
Oh my gosh.
No spoilers, but.
He's back.
It's true. All of it.
We are so back. No way. Sheev, if nothing else, we get to see Ian McDiarmid back again next week.
Yes.
So, actually, maybe even closer than that. But we will see next week as we wrap up the Star Wars marathon. It's been a very interesting experience, very fun experience. We'll talk more about the whole experience when we do our wrap-up, but... It's going to be a bittersweet, guys. It's going to be bittersweet for multiple reasons. The end of the Star Wars marathon, the end of Star Wars films since that time. So stay tuned for next week. And I was supposed to say this at the beginning, but I was too busy drinking the epic blue milk. But I would love to know what you guys think about it. So the two of you guys who are still listening to this, please, I would love to hear what you guys think about Solo. Are we wrong? Is it better than just the mid film that it is that we collectively
just scouring
read?
My notes real quick. There are a few things that I just missed out on. I mean, I took notes for this. Might as well reference them. But we get that epic shower scene between Chewbacca and Han Solo.
Can I change my favorite scene?
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy. So, and we also didn't talk about how kind of. For the first half of this movie, Han Solo's character arc is, I just need Kira. I just need her.
Yep.
I need to be a pilot so I can be with Kira.
We talked plenty about droid rights. Also, in the final heist, honestly. He's talking to Beckett, and he's like, all right, Han, that was the first one. You need 11 more. And then, why have that line in the movie if we don't see him get the 11 more?
Hmm.
They just skip that.
Oh, we don't need to see it again.
I'm kind of digressing here.
I get you. I get what you're saying.
You know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm going to digress a lot next week.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
So stay tuned for that. Otherwise, this has been Rayside. This is Ethan.
This is Micah Solo.
And remember,
collectively, Micah, what do we speak together?
I hate you. I know.
The Force will be with you always.
I know.
Through the Kessel Run.
In 12 parsecs.